Okay, we're going to continue our series today about On the Run. This is part three, On the Run. And the main thought that, you know, the Lord challenged inside of me was, are you running to something or are you running from something? You know, life is pretty chaotic and it seems like we're on the go all the time. There's so much chaos in the world and the things that kind of drag us down and pull us back. So that's why we need to make sure that we're heading the right direction. And so as we go through life, it's easy to get caught up in the cares of this world. And it seems like we're always chasing after our tails, it seems like. And chasing after the right things in life, to me, is very important. You know, we need to make sure that we have our priorities in line with God's Word and what God is doing in our life. And I believe that we personally, whether we know it or not, we assign a priority level or value to things in our life where they rank in our life. And that was a good testimony that Amanda shared a minute ago about what the guy talked about in that movie. And today we're going to take a look at greed. I know it's kind of a dicey subject, but we're going to look about how greed affects the Christian. I want to fall back just a moment and recap a few things. In week one, we looked at the story of Jonah. Jonah is a minor prophet in the Old Testament, and the main message there was either we run to or from the will of God. And that is something that everybody does. Some people sometimes do both. But Jonah had made a vow to God, and he told God evidently that he would do whatever God wanted him to do. Well, God told him what to do, and God wanted Jonah, I think, to go east, and he went west. And he tried to run from God and from God's will and from God's presence, but we know there's nowhere on this planet we can escape from God. And we know that he finally got it right and did what God wanted to do, and his attitude wasn't right. Sometimes our attitude's not right all the time, is it? You know, we can still do God's stuff, but, you know, I think it's best when we get the right attitude. Last week, we looked at the story of David and Goliath. You know, either we run to or from battles of life. Some people avoid conflict and they avoid having the hard conversation. You know, but we looked at the idea of how we need to confront our enemy because each of us has a Goliath in our life in some way, shape, or form. And that Goliath, remember what he did? He would come down and he would taunt the army of Israel. And he did it for 40 days. And see, that's what it's like sometimes. When you get into a battle or you get into a conflict, the enemy tries to play with our mind and tries to get us to look down and think down about ourselves. And if he can get in our mind, you know, he can, you know, hold us back from, you know, what we're to do. And then we looked how David would have none of it. And he went and got some rocks, 5 stones, went up and slung one of them, hit Goliath in the center of the head. Goliath went down. Then he used Goliath's sword and cut his head off. You're going to have to deal with your Goliaths in life. If we don't deal with them, they're always going to be out there taunting us and holding us back. Well, today we're going to look at something a little different. Remember, our message is on running. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 11, and it talks about the concept of godliness versus greed. Godliness versus greed. And I encourage you to read this and meditate on it a little bit. And really, the whole passage is really good. And even before this, but I had to pick a stopping spot. Somewhere, so I chose verse 6. Okay, or a starting spot. It says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food or covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But then it says, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. I thank you for just the stirring in each of our hearts. Lord, I believe with all my heart, Lord, that you have great plans for each and every person here. and those listening to my voice. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation as I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I want to use it for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, so it says, but flee. So Paul is telling the young preacher, Timothy's a young preacher, and he was in charge of the church there. And that church, you know, I believe it was Ephesus, but I might be wrong. But anyway, they was having a lot of problems in it. And so Paul was dealing with some of the issues going on in the church. A lot of people were falling away from the faith, just like they are today in our times. You know, there's a lot of people who have served God for years. Then all of a sudden, they'll just drop out of church and drop out of God and don't want to serve Him no more. Don't know why, other than I believe it's a demonic attack. But Paul was writing here to Timothy, and he says, but flee, and the word flee is talking about escape or move hastily from danger. Now, we need to get away from danger. You know, it's not that God doesn't want us to have fun in life, but He doesn't want us to get hurt like any parent, you know. Certain things in life that you and I are to run to, and there's certain things in life that we're to run from. You know, we're to run to the battle. We're to run to God's will, but here we're supposed to want to run away from greed. Now, we live in a capitalist society. I believe capitalism is probably the best secular society there is, you know, as far as getting things done and being able to accomplish things. I mean, our country's done a lot of great things for the gospel, and it takes money to do things, as most of you probably figured out already. You know, I don't want to, most of you probably don't watch Star Trek. I used to like watching Star Trek, but it's kind of cool. You know, in the future, evidently they're not going to need money. They're just going to have replicators and stuff like that to make their food and all that. We don't have that now. We have to have cash, or at least a good plastic and a good bank behind us, right? You know, we need those two things. So we are to run from some certain things, though it talks about in the Bible. Now, what are some of the things in your life you run from? I don't like scary movies, but from what I gather, I would probably run from a zombie apocalypse. You know what I'm saying? Just by what them zombies do, they eat people's brains and stuff, that just doesn't sound fun to me. I would probably run from that. You know, there's another thing in life I run from. You know, when I was a kid, you know, being raised on a farm, you know, we had a cow that didn't like me. And my dad liked the cow. So I don't know, I must have rated number two because Dad would not get rid of that cow. And every time we went out in the winter to feed the cattle, we'd either give them little square bales, or there's times we chopped silage and we'd throw it on a hay rack. We'd put a piece of plywood down so it wouldn't fall through. And then I'd be out there scooping the silage off, and Dad would be driving the tractor. And there's old, I think her name was, her number was number 43 or 56, or maybe we had two that were mean. But I always had to look around. And if I took the strings off the bales, we had little bales, you know, and I would be out there in the midst of the herd, I always had to watch for that cow, because that cow would chase me either back to the wagon, or she would chase me till I got over the fence. And I fled from that cow because it was dangerous. So there's certain things that you and I know that we should flee from. But when it comes to the things of this world and getting into this secular society that we live in, you know, we're of this world, we live in the world, but we're not of it, right? So we got to learn how to navigate by functioning in this society, but also being a part of God's kingdom and operating by His principles. That's one of the hardest things that a Christian has to deal with. Because the secular society that we live in is governed by the god of this world, meaning Satan. And Satan will try to come in and influence people and influence society. So that's why we need to be aware of what's going on. Now, the love of money or greed is a dangerous thing that we run from. Now, I believe that God cares about our needs, but He doesn't care so much about our greeds. And we need to sort out which is which. Now, like I mentioned, we need money. We need money. And, you know, I'm all about that our income should exceed our outgo, right? I don't believe you should have lack in your life. So some of it might be you might need to pray and ask God to give you a better job. God's able. I believe it. Some of it might be the fact, you know, maybe you're spending more than you make. You may have to make some altercations in the way you do business. You know what I'm saying? I think it's good to have a budget. Like I said, it's good to do the 80-10-10 principle. You know, live off 80% of your income, give 10%, and then save 10%. And even more than that, I've just given this counsel out to different young couples when they're getting started. This is what me and my wife did. Now, we were able to do it. I worked as an electrician, so I made a fairly decent wage. So we lived off my income. We budgeted off my income. All her income we put in savings. Every dime she made, we put in a savings account. You know, we could have went and bought a lot of junk. You know, I'm not opposed to buying stuff. But I mean, we chose to do that so we could have some money set aside for the future to buy some things. You know, I believe everybody needs to have an emergency account. You know, a lot of the financial gurus say you need to put at least $1,000 aside and put it away because stuff kind of happens in life. You know, and we all need stuff, but how much stuff do we really need? That's the decision that you're going to have to make with you and your spouse, or if you're single by yourself. And what I would encourage you, consider money a tool. Make it work for you. Let it be something that you decide how to do it. You know, you need to pay your bills. And like I mentioned, you need that emergency fund to pay, because your car might break down. Has anybody ever had a problem with their car? You know, or maybe you have a medical deduction to have to meet. You know, we've all had those. You know, so all these things you need to be aware of, that they could be coming down the line. So there's a lot of opportunity, you know, to be able to prepare for the future. You know, also you need to go out and enjoy life. I don't think you just need to not just sit around and not do fun stuff. I mean, that's what money's for also, to go and do good things. But you know, we live in a culture where a lot of people overspend on the fun stuff, and then they don't have money to pay for the stuff they really need to do. You know, like I've told you that story before, you know, we had a young person in our church one time, had some kids, and they got their earned income credit. I want to say it was $6,000 or $8,000. You know, they went to Hawaii. You know, instead of that money, they didn't know. To me, what I'd do is I'd put some of it away for an emergency fund and then budget it out every month to get, that's what it was given for. But then 2 months later, they couldn't pay their water bill and say, hit me up for money. I did it, but I didn't like it. You know, why should I have to pay for other people's stupidity? You know what I mean? They had $8,000 and they blew it. So we need to, you know, be a better steward, you know. I'm all for going to Hawaii if you want to. But, you know, just make sure you can afford it and be able to get there and get back. Amen? It should be a round trip ticket. Amen? Okay. So our goal in life probably should not be to get rich, but our goal in life to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. I live by a simple rule. I love to give, but I hate to be taken. You know what I'm saying? You know, I love to give because that's when we're most like God, is when we're giving. But we can't give into everything, can we? So I believe we need to be led by the Spirit and follow God's leading when we do it. And that's how we reflect Jesus Christ. You know, those who have an ability to make money, you know, I think it's good that we can help those who maybe are on a situation where they don't have that opportunity. And I think it's a good idea if you could get to that place in your life. You know, I believe we should measure our life by not how much we have, but by how much we give. You know, a lot of people, you know, they base their self-worth on, you know, how much they have in their bank account. I still remember this. I was a sophomore or junior in high school, and we had a substitute teacher, and her husband was a farmer. And I tell you, farming's a tough life. You know, I didn't go into it. I had an opportunity to go into farming. But, you know, she said that her husband would freak out whenever his checking account got below $10,000. Now, back then, $10,000 sounded like a lot of money. And it still is kind of today. But in a business, it's not that much money. You know, if a big tractor breaks down or something like that, it's a lot of money. But sometimes we can be at peace and we think that we're doing good, or maybe your IRA, how important that is. You know, saving for the future. I'm all about IRAs. You need to save for your retirement and things like that. And it's a good idea, and if you haven't started, you should start. But I don't want to bust your bubble, but, you know, I'm going to. Is that if you put all your faith in your IRA, how many has watched that market plunge? Oh, my gosh. If your whole identity is in how much you have in your IRA for the future, and that thing's gone, it's going to be like the Depression, you know, back in 29 or whenever it was. People were jumping off buildings because their whole identity gets caught up into money. Money's a tool, and we need to look at it like that. Do the best you can. Be a great steward, but don't put your faith in something that can be taken away so easily. You know, the Bible talks about a man in the Bible, and he was a farmer, and he had a bumper harvest. As a matter of fact, he had so much of a harvest, his barns couldn't hold it. So what he did is he tore down his barns and then built other barns. Now, that's okay. It's okay to put stuff in the barn. You know, I think that's a great idea. But what got him in trouble with God was his motive. Because what he said is that now that I have all this stuff, I'm paraphrasing, he said, I can kick back, eat, drink, and be merry. Amen. Now, God's not a problem with some of that, but what he did, his focus was on the wrong thing. He looked at the big barn and what he had in there, and then the Bible says that he died, and he didn't get to enjoy it. Somebody else did. And see, that's what happens when our priorities are out of line and the things in this world. I also read another story, and I'm not going to mention the lady's name. You wouldn't know her anyway. She was a billionaire. She married a guy that had some hotels, and then she was in it, and anyway, making all this money hand over fist, but she was a very greedy, mean lady. You know, the kind of person you would not probably enjoy being around. Very cutthroat. And it said that her son died at a young age, about 40 years old. Remember, she's a billionaire. She has $1 billion in her account. Her son died, and evidently she must not have given him a lot in life, but he had $150,000 roughly in his estate. And he had a wife and two kids. She sued the wife to get most of that money. The wife ended up with a couple thousand, and the kids ended up with several hundred dollars apiece. And she was a billionaire. That's greed. And that's what we don't want. And I don't believe anybody in this room is like that. But I'm teaching this message in case you know somebody that is. You know what I'm saying? Amen. So we can, you know, maybe help them. So we're going to look at the idea why greed's bad. The Bible tells us about it. And, you know, it can come in. You know, the Bible says it's a snare or a trap. I never did any trapping or snaring or stuff like that. You know, we hunted with dogs and stuff when I did coon and all that. But, you know, a snare, when you get caught in a snare, it's hard to get out. Because what I understand about a snare is a noose. And the harder you pull, the tighter it gets. And see, when we get into the mentality, when we try to keep up with the spirit of this world and the things of this world, we can never escape it. Because the harder we try to pull away, the tighter its noose gets around us. And that's when, you know, we need help, and we need help from God. Now, I'm come to the conclusion, you know, I've been saved long enough to know that not only rich people are greedy, but there's some poor people that can be greedy too. You know what I'm saying? You know, to me, there's a fine line between stingy and frugal. These people just think I'm frugal. I'm very frugal. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a saver. I put money away. You know, I do stuff like that, but I also give. But see, rich and poor can be greedy all the same time. What the problem is, when we get caught up in trying to get what other people have and miss totally out on what God has for us. If we're comparing to other people, you know, just because other people do it doesn't mean that's what we should do. You know, time and time again, you know, I'm 60 now. I've watched people, and I've worked construction, and I watch people build houses that they can't afford. It's all they can do just to get in the house, and they think they're going to be safe. But every month comes that payment, and every month comes the taxes, and they can't maintain it. So that's why we need to think, why did you build the house? Well, them guys have a house. Why shouldn't I have it? But they may not. See, then you can't enjoy life. If you're so bound to things where you don't enjoy life and you have to go spend your whole life working for something just so you can be like everybody else, and then how about God touches your heart and he wants you to go maybe give something to somebody, or God touches your heart and he wants you to, you know, maybe go on a mission trip or things like this, and you can't do anything. I've watched people buy cars they can't afford, and they can't put gas in it. They got to leave it parked. You know? So all these things, we're wiser than that. The Bible gives us wisdom on how we can live our life on what God's called us to do. You know, to me, buying name brand is okay if you're buying for quality. But if you're buying it for your identity, you have a spiritual problem. You know, I really believe that.
You know, things are just things. You know, greed doesn't let us live a life trusting in God, and that's what the problem is. When we get over into fear, and we do, don't we? Everybody probably has. I mean, I get into fear. You know, when I get something coming up and maybe I haven't been praying or reading like I should, and something's coming down the pike at me, you know, it's easy to get into fear. Like, am I going to have enough to do that? You know, I have to take authority over that. But anytime I get into the place, you know, in life, or anybody does, where we're greedy and we're just trying to hoard and to keep for ourselves, what it is we're saying we can't trust God for our future. Now, in saying that, you should have a retirement account. You should see, some people go one way or the other. They just believe, oh, I need to trust God all the time, so I don't need to have a savings account. Well, then they call me and they need money. You know what I'm saying? I'm the pastor, so they call me. I said, well, you just got a bunch of money come in, because they were bragging about how God gave them all this money. I said, what'd you do with it? Well, I gave it away. Okay, that's cool. Maybe God will give it to you now. No, I usually help them out, you know what I mean. But you know, there's stewardship mentality that we have to get into, where you walk that fine line of balance. And it's important that we get to that. So we need to stay trusting God, because greed takes us out of that and it makes us trust in ourselves. Also says here, they're harmful desires which bring ruin and destruction. You know, riches give a false sense of security. Like I said, I'm not dissing the stock market, don't get me wrong. You know, I put money in, my wife and I, every month, you know, for our IRA. And, you know, we do it. But I will say this, I've had that thing. You know, I'm the kiss of death sometimes. When I put large amounts, but, you know, when I put a fairly substantial sum of money into my IRA, it usually goes down. You know what I'm saying? So I'm the kiss of death, you know, it seems like. But I know I'm not, but, you know, maybe it's just a timing issue. But, you know, the idea of putting our trust totally in that can get us in all kinds of trouble. So that's why we need to make sure that we have that balance. So money can't be our security, because money comes and money goes. Things are going to happen. You know, we haven't had a serious recession here, but in the 80s, when I lived here, that's why I moved to Denver, other than I do know it was God's will. See, in the 80s, jobs were kind of bad here. It was a farm crisis. Things were really tight and hard to find jobs. And, you know, I needed to move anyway, because I was, you know, destroying myself a little bit. So I ended up going to Denver. And their jobs were plentiful out there. But see, you know, my security could have been in my bank account. And when we do that, it's trouble, because you start spending it and then you don't have it. Money comes and money goes. And the problem is, if we have a spirit of greed, if we look at money to be our source, what happens when the money goes away? We've lost all sense of our security. And see, God needs to be our security, because we need to trust Him. No matter what happens in this world, God is our security. And that's where we need to put our first priority. And that's going to help us to live that life of balance, to be able to save and to be able to spend. It also says here, you know, the idea I thought of was the idea of greed takes our eye off the source and puts it on the supply. You know, if we take our eye off our source, which is God, and just puts it on our stuff, then we're going to get into trouble. It says it pierced themselves with many griefs. To me, I've always said self-inflicted pain is the worst pain. It always hurts when I hurt myself the worst, you know. If you hit me by accident or do something, I forgive you. But if I do it to myself, oh, I get kind of irritated at myself. Why did I do that? You know, I've known better. And see, that's why we need to stay focused on the things of God, and not let the things of the world hold us back. And that's liberating. There's true freedom. You know, I really believe if you want to kill greed, start giving. And I you know, we're not going to take up another offering. That's not what I'm saying. But that's what I found in my life. One of the greatest feelings you're going to get is when you're free to give. You know, when somebody is going through something. I remember in Bible school, I wasn't working, but I had some money, because I'm a saver. I had money in the bank. You know, it wasn't nothing to me. And I remember this couple came up and they were talking about how, you know, they were having some issues this couple always had issues. But I mean, this was a financial issue. And I felt the Spirit of God speak inside of me, give them $50. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, it's what they needed. So I gave him 50 bucks. You know, but I could do it because I was free on the inside to give. And I encourage you to try to get to that place in your life. I don't know what, you know, they all did, if they did everything they were supposed to do with the 50 bucks. I just followed the Spirit of God. And see, that's a great place to be in our life. To be to the place where we can follow God's leading and we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because tomorrow's taken care of. Amen? Preach a lot better than you're letting on today. You know? So self-inflicted pain. Now, next point. Improper focus can cause us to wander away from the faith. Like I mentioned, a lot of people have wandered away from the faith. You know, we live in a culture now where people are somewhat turning their back on God. You know, people that even have been raised in the church, maybe for whatever reason, I don't know why, other than the fact, like I said before, it's the God of this world is trying to discourage and to hold back. You know, but we need to be of the people that press on and press in and keep going on for God. But it comes by proper focus. See, riches can cause us to identify with what we have instead of who we are in Christ. And if we keep our balance in our life of who I am in Jesus Christ, what God has saved me to do. You know, I'll be honest, you know, I've always felt this since I really got saved, radically saved. You know, it takes a lot to impress me right now. You can introduce me to somebody very famous, but I rate them according to Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know who you could introduce me to that would impress me to the place where I would really get, ooh, look at that person. I've met Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That's the most important person in the universe to me. And all these other guys are cool. I mean, there's a few of them I wouldn't mind saying hi to or different things, but it's nothing to me because I've met Jesus, and that's the most important thing. You know, greed goes on to idea of what the Bible calls it is idolatry. Greed is idolatry. It's worshiping money instead of the Lord. You know, the Bible talks about you can't serve God and mammon or God and money because they get in the way. I mean, we could go into this a lot deeper. I'm not going to today. You know, Jesus even said it's hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that's a striking comment. Just striking. You know, it's easier for him to go through the eye of the needle. You know that story? You know, you think, oh, a needle? No, yeah, it would be hard to go through. No, that was talking about a little door in the wall of the city. And then the camel, when they closed them at night, the main gate, they had to come through this little door to keep, you know, criminals out and stuff from coming into attack. So they would have to totally unload the camel of all their possessions to be able to get through that door. And I believe that sometimes we need to unload ourselves of all our possessions, all the things that we think are dear, to be able to go through that narrow door that God's calling us into. I'm not saying you have to get rid of them, but I'm just saying you got to quit carrying them for yourself. Greed is the belief that there is no life after death. I really believe that's true, why some people are greedy. They believe that this life is all there is, so why not go and get all of it? And that's a fact. That's why we need to look to the future, the eternal future. So the opposite of greed is trust. Now we're going to get some good stuff here. Amen? That was the hard stuff. Now what he told us to do is to pursue godliness. No. We need to let the inner man lead. We have an inner man on the inside of us. And this word here is talking of pursue is to follow in order to catch, not just to follow. Some people just follow, you know what I mean? But they don't really want to close the deal. You know, we need to close the deal. We need to go after it. You know, we used to, like I mentioned, I used to coon hunt as a kid. And, you know, we'd take the dog out and let him run. Now, the dog liked to run. Dog liked to chase the coon. But I will say this, every now and then you had to get a coon. Or that dog didn't want to run no more. Why run if all you do is chase it up the tree and you leave it? You know what I'm saying? After a while, the dog's going to say, you go get it. You go chase after that coon. No, you got to get the coon out so the dog can see the reward. And I believe that, you know, you and I, we need to pursue godliness in the order to catch it. Don't just think it's something out there unattainable, but it's something that you and I can grab onto.
You know, this passage talks about how we come into the world with nothing and we leave this world with nothing. We just need to learn how to manage the middle. That's all we got to do. And that's the hard part, isn't it? You know, there's the middle, the time from when you're born to when you die, what you do with what you have. All these things factor in to the to what how it is we need to manage and process information. You know, but the good news is, as a Christian, we can have the best of both worlds because life's about balance. Now, I may go into this year, I'm not sure, but about the concept of spirit, soul, and body. You know, we're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. So you need to have balance. A lot of people, you know, overfeed their bodies. You know what I mean? Take care of their bodies. They buy thousands of dollars of product to make themselves look better. But see, the body is falling apart. The body is decaying. The body is not as good. You know, I feel really young on the inside. Just on the outside, I don't all the time. I'm stiff when I get up sometimes. So the body's not there. Then you got your soul, and you got to get an education. You need to, you know, try to make yourself better. You know, I believe intellectually. It's good to be smart, smart as you can. It's good to learn things and continue learning. Don't quit learning, no matter how old you get. But see, the most important part is your spirit. That's the part of you that connects with God, your spirit man, and how we learn to tap in and to follow Him and to flow with Him. See, we can't be with each other all the time. Husbands and wives can't be with each other all the time. But the Spirit of God can be with us all the time, leading us and guiding us and revealing to us the things that we need to know and putting us into position where we need to be. So all these things factor in. Then that passage talks about practicing contentment. You know, focus on what you have instead of what you don't have. See, money's not bad, just the love of it is. So practicing contentment. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, I, to my knowledge, now I don't buy junk as a rule. I would rather spend $300 on something that's going to last than $100 on something that's going to break down pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? But that's why I save. You know, if it's something I really want, I don't go buy a lot of stuff, but when I go buy something, I buy it. What I want, I pay cash. But the idea and the concept here is the fact that you're going to have a hard time persuading me that my kids would need a $260 pair of tennis shoes when I can buy them a $70 or $80 pair that'll last just as long, that don't have the right name on it. You know what I'm saying? I know we want our kids to fit in. Well, I guess I never did. This is a bad illustration for me. You know, because I don't care. I don't care what people think. Now, I know my kids did, so we tried to find a balance there. But the idea of thinking you have to buy something that you can't afford, you know, something that's going to wear out. How many knows kids' feet grow pretty fast? You know, I've been to some garage sales, and here's these expensive tennis shoes for $5, man. $5. And they spend $250 on them. What kind of business person does that? You know what I mean? You won't be in business long if you do that. So what's important? So practicing contentment, you know, focusing on the right thing. Now I'm going to look at, the Bible says in Matthew 10:16, be shrewd as a serpent and innocent as doves. So the Bible says we're not supposed to be stupid of the things of this world. You know, you need to know how to go in and negotiate a deal. You just don't go into a car dealer and believe they're going to give you the best price. You know what I'm saying? Oh, okay, how much? Sure, I'll pay for that. No. You got to be a little bit shrewd, don't you? You need to be wise a little bit so you kind of check around and kind of learn some things. You know, but be innocent about it. You know, be godly in your business dealings. You know, one of the things that turned, you know, I remember talking to somebody in my family, and one of the things that turned them off towards Christians and church is the fact that, you know, they knew people that went to church on Sunday and they would try to steal from you or rip you off on Monday, stab a knife in your back. And that kept them out of church. It bugged them. Now, that was their problem. Every Christian ain't like that. But, you know, we as Christians, you know, just be a good in your business dealings. Malachi 3:10 also says, God says if we tithe, He's going to open the windows of heaven. So there's another scripture that says, it's okay, God's going to give us stuff. You know, I've, like I said, I found the best way to kill greed is to start giving. So what do we pursue or catch?
Here's a couple, four or five things that we need to follow up on. Number one, righteousness. You know, this is what Paul said to go after. He said, don't go after greed, go after this. Number one, righteousness. The revelation of right standing with God. That you know deep down in your heart, you know that you know that you know, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that you have access to God the Father. And when you go into His presence, you can go in with a position of confidence because of what Jesus Christ did. And it's not based on your performance. That's righteousness. That's the first thing we need to try to get down in our head. You know, we should know that we fit into the body of Christ. Next, godliness. You know, living right with God. I mean, that's just part of life. You know, learn how to live a godly life. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, not everything's going to be perfect. But we need to be pursuing that in wanting to get into that system. Remember, the devil has a system and God has a system. Thirdly, faith. Faith is a firm persuasion or belief in the truth. You know, our faith should not be rocked. Our faith is not based on our feelings. Too many things are based on feelings. I know people think maybe I go too far on this, but you know, feelings lie. Feelings lie. How do you know that? Because I've watched a lot of people say I love this person and then they don't. I've watched a lot of people say they believe God and then, you know, God's going to do this and God's going to do that, and then about a couple weeks later, they don't. What was it? It's all feelings. They were moved by their emotions. Emotions will lie to you. We need them, you know, emotions, but we need to how to monitor them. Next, love. The word love here is talking about agape or the God kind of love. It's a love that will be able to follow through. It doesn't get hurt when things don't go right for it all the time. And that's the kind of love, you know, we really have for our kids, hopefully, and we should have it for other people. Five, perseverance, it says. Endurance or bearing up under pressure. Because not everything's going to be easy all the time. I'd love to say if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you'll never have another problem in your life. But that would be a lie. Because every now and then we get under attack. Every now and then the things of this world and the devil comes in and tries to push us down. That's why we got to have endurance. You know, my wife and I, just in the last month, we had about a 2 or 3 week attack upon us and our family. It was excruciating. Excruciating. I haven't had one of those for a long time. I live a pretty well happy-go-lucky life. But this was very painful. But we had to have endurance. We could have made a wrong decision. If I would have made a decision 2 weeks ago by how I felt, it would have been a terrible decision for me and my family. So what'd you do, Pastor Brad? I hung in there. I started changing the way I speak. I started getting my mouth lined up with God's word. And I started to get to a different place emotionally because my emotions were lying to me. And when I got to that place, the clouds cleared. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. It's a real life we live, so we need to learn how to fight. Because we didn't go into that passage, but the next scripture after the one that I read, the last one, is fight the good fight of faith. And lastly, gentleness. It's calmness towards God and His dealing with us. Talking about meekness. You know, meekness is not weakness, but it's power under control, right? Jesus was a meek man. Well, until he started to get into the temple and they were starting to rip people off his money, you know. Then he got a little upset. But for the most part, you know, Jesus was pretty humble. He just walked around, did his job, and that's what we need to do. And stay focused on the things that are important. So we need to walk in a sense of humility towards God. Lastly, proper priorities and practicing contentment are the two main ingredients, I believe, in living a successful Christian life. Go after godliness and you'll never go wrong. And parents, these are things that we need to impart to our children to get them to learn how to practice contentment. Because when they're real little, it's easy. But when they get older and they start comparing themselves to other kids in the community, it gets hard. So when they're young, we need to get the word in them and train them so how they can see that their self-image is not tied up in what they have. Their self-image is tied up in who they are. Amen? Let's pray.